Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. A Missouri lawmaker says she wants to prevent the state of Missouri from taking Social Security benefits intended for foster children to pay for foster care. With me now is Republican Representative Melissa Schmidt. Thank you so much for being with us on KMOX this morning.
Good morning, Megan. Thank you for having me. It's a joy to visit with you this morning.
Well, explain to our listeners what these benefits are and what the state does with them.
Sure. House Bill 737 simply seeks to protect the pensions that are intended for kids in foster care. So if a child is placed into foster care and they have a parent who was deceased, who left a pension for them, so a veteran pension, a railroad pension, or an SSI pension, currently what's happening is those dollars are being used for the care of the child. And when the child turns 18 and, exits out of foster care, the pension is used and there's no dollars left. So what this bill seeks to do is just to protect those dollars that the parent intended the child to be able to use at age 18 from being used up before they get there.
So I would imagine then that other foster kids who would not have these kind of benefits like Social Security, that there wouldn't be other money put in for them. So this is only for kids who are getting these benefits that this money
sure.
is poured into the system?
Yeah, that's right. And it amounts to about 10% of our kids who are in foster care, which is about 1,200 kiddos a year. And it amounts to about $8 million. So, you know, it's not small numbers, not small dollars. And exiting out of child care when you're 18 or foster care when you're 18 is difficult enough if you could have the nest egg that your parents set aside for you. And, you know, we're working with the department to make sure that, you know, those dollars are implemented wisely and that there's counsel for the child so that, you know, those dollars are used the way they should be for education and safe housing, transportation, just the extra things that they need to help them exit into society well.
So who would make that determination then? Would it be the state or the foster family that would make the determination of maybe what might be above and beyond that they could use those benefits for?
Yeah, I think the goal, and we're still working with the department on specifics, but I think the goal is that that would be joint, that the caseworker would be involved and the state would be involved, and then also the foster family that they've been part of, and of course, you know, say from the child. And so I think, you know, that's going to have to be a joint effort. You know, they say it takes a village, and it certainly does, but we are currently working with the department to make sure that we have a solid strategy for that. The legislation is very similar to what they've recently passed in Arizona, and our local department is looking closely at how Arizona has implemented it as well, and so we are still working on some of the nuts and bolts of that.
I'm curious, you mentioned Arizona. Are there many other states, though, that have a similar system as Missouri does currently where they do use these benefits?
Yes, it's very similar in a lot of other states, but what we're seeing is the attention is being drawn to it, and as it is, they're making these changes just like we strive to as well.
So give me a sense, maybe for one individual child, if they did lose a parent and they've got a pension or Social Security benefits coming to them, when they turned 18, how much money potentially could they have to start their lives?
Yeah, I think that's going to vary from child to child, of course. But I do have a story of a young man whose mother passed, and she had veteran benefits, and his father was incarcerated, so he was placed in foster care, and he knew of the benefits. And so all through foster care, that was what he called his hope. He knew that there would be enough in that pension that he could secure stable housing, he could have a college education, and he could get solid transportation. And so when he turned 18, he was counting on that amount of funds to be able to do those things. But what happened was, by the time he was 18, those funds had already been used. And so, you know, he didn't have any. So I think, you know, for every child, it's going to be a different set amount. But in that particular instance, it was going to be enough for education, transportation, and housing, which is substantial for a kiddo at 18. All of us, really.
I'm wondering, you know, for anyone listening here, what's the greater benefit to taxpayers, that the state basically saves $8 million a year, or that we get these benefits to these foster kids as they age out?
I think the benefit, lots of times, you know, lots of times we look at dollars and cents when we are considering benefit, and that's important. But I think the benefit overall to our communities and to our state is knowing that we're helping these kiddos become solid adults in our communities, folks who can be part of our workforce, who can, you know, be taxpayers and who can contribute. And so I think, you know, that is the greatest benefit to our state, is just knowing that we're giving these future leaders of our communities, future teachers, future linemen, future fellow citizens, a leg up that they'll need. And I think that's where the true benefit will be.
Representative, you had a hearing on this last week. What's the next step for this legislation?
Sure. That legislation did go through its initial committee hearing last week. Great support on both sides of the aisle. It's a piece of legislation that was introduced last year and had unanimous support from the committee then. Everyone is anxious to see it pass the House this year. It's been a priority for Speaker John Patterson. I'm just thankful to be part of it. Tuesday this week, tomorrow, we will have executive session. And once it's passed, then of course it'll be assigned to the floor for floor presentation and debate. So we are hopeful that it will be the first bill to pass out of the House this year. We have a senator in place on the House side to carry this piece of legislation who's also working very hard. And so we're very hopeful. We feel very positive that it's going to make traction this year and that we can make some changes.
Representative, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Megan. We appreciate it.
That is Representative Melissa Schmidt joining us this morning on Total Information AM.